Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Jamie Dimon, he's the CEO and chairman of the nation's largest bank, JPMorgan Chase. He's also been called the last man standing because he made it through the 2008 financial crisis largely unscathed, and he's been anything but shy about letting people know that. But now, in a turn of events that verges on schadenfreude, he's come under attack. Whether it's the bank's $6 billion trading loss known as the London Whale or the multiple investigations of the bank's business practices, prominent shareholders are now considering taking away the chairman part of his title. And joining me now is Jonah Serre with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And the first question is, why do we care about this vote?
Well, we care about it, first of all, because it signals broad shareholder dissatisfaction if it passes. And I should point out that last year, it got 40% of the vote. Is it binding? No, it is not binding. But it really suggests how the worm has turned on the man that was called not too long ago, I think, the country's least hated banker.
Yeah, it feels like he's fighting on all fronts now. You know, I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit and say that on the show a few weeks ago, I mentioned that, you know, I thought he was going to come under more pressure and would he maybe leave voluntarily J.P. Morgan. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think he's under so much heat. I think that this role of CEO and chairman does get split. That's the end to sort of the imperial Jamie Dimon, you know, this kind of leader, last man standing on Wall Street idea.
But does it really matter if he loses the chairman title? I mean, will it help the bottom line? I mean, let's keep in mind, last year they made over $21 billion in profits, even with the big loss that they had from that trading debacle in London. I mean, does it really matter?
Well, in terms of the CEO chair split, I don't want to overplay that. I think it's actually a great idea in terms of risk management. I don't think that the guy who is running the company and the guy who's managing the board that's looking after the guy running the company should be the same person. But in terms of, you know, is that going to make the company run better? Is it going to affect profits? Not really. We should also remember that Enron had a separate CEO and chairman. So that issue itself is not that big of a deal.
You know, there's a lot of hubris here. You know, the idea that one person should also should be CEO and the chairman of the board, which oversees the CEO and management, you know, it is good corporate governance at this point to split them up. And the idea of having somebody else look over the shoulder is a good idea. One thing investors have come to believe is that Lee Raymond, the former Exxon CEO who is, quote, the lead independent director, he's not chairman, has done a lousy job overseeing Jamie Dimon. And so one of the reasons they want to split this up is because they'd like to get somebody who's a little more sharp-eyed and a little less willing to genuflect to St. Jamie.
Is there a bigger story here in terms of, like, the public's perception of Wall Street when this man who really was held up and who did a very good job at J.P. Morgan through the financial crisis is now sort of being pilloried and attacked from so many different angles?
Well, one of the things that we have discovered in the last few years, and this is what, to me, J.P. Morgan symbolizes, is how little has actually changed. Mm. So you have these regulations in place, but you still have a $6 billion loss in London. You have these, you know, mortgage problems, foreclosure problems. Now, the Federal Energy Commission, the FERC, is looking into their energy trades. Everywhere you look, there's something that's going on. And also, J.P. Morgan has been deeply resistant to regulators, which is something that Dimon is now saying he wants to change. So the reason this really matters is because J.P. Morgan symbolizes how little has changed in the banking world despite what we went through.
Yeah, especially the London Whale incident is very telling on that score because J.P. Morgan and even Dimon himself lobbied quite a bit to allow the kind of trading that seems to have got the bank in trouble. So that just shows how active they've been pushing back against regulation.
Well, we've talked a lot recently about shareholder activism, whether it's individuals like Carl Icahn who wants to make changes at companies or whether it's pension boards that want to make changes at these corporations. If there were to be a split here of CEO and chairmanship, is this a win for shareholder democracy? Is this a good sign or is this just this particular case and you have to take a case by case?
I think it is a good sign. There are a lot of institutional proxy firms, as they're called. They advise institutional investors who are strongly backing the idea of splitting chairman and CEO. Many of the largest shareholders of J.P. Morgan are going to back the split, which is pretty unusual. So I actually think it signals a pretty interesting and probably good change on the part of not shareholder activists, but large shareholders who normally aren't activists, who are willing to say, you know, something's wrong here, and we need to take this one small step and see if this can fix things a little more.
I think it's a good first step, but it's just a first step. I think that the bigger question now is, what should boards look like, and what should the skills be of folks on the board? I mean, you know, particularly with banks, there are a lot of kind of well-meaning amateurs that sit on these boards. These are incredibly complicated institutions. I'm not so sure that that's the right kind of person that you want sitting on a board. I think also people that are not from the same club. I mean, we need to incredibly overhaul board structure in this country and really beef up diversity.
Well, in about the minute we have left, we always look ahead to the stories you guys are watching. Joe, what's on your radar?
All right. Well, normally I'm pretty good about looking at next week, but this week I'm looking at 2017.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the year that Jeffrey Skilling, the former CEO of Enron, might get out of jail. He was sent away for, I believe, 24 years, which comparatively to all the other crooks on Wall Street, was an awfully long time. And he has been fighting to have his conviction overturned and to have his sentence reduced. And he finally came to agreement with the federal government where they agree to drop 10 years off his sentence. He agrees to stop fighting his conviction, and he will get out before he's 65 now.
I love that look ahead, Chuck. I love 2017. I thought that was going to be when China overtook the U.S. or something. But
Ron,
no.
what are you looking ahead to? Maybe a little more immediate.
I am, oddly, looking into something more immediate, which is the Dow and the record levels of the Dow and just how long they can last. And, you know, I wrote a post about this week, and I don't know what to say about it except don't fight the Fed. I mean, you know, even people who really believe that this is a Fed-induced bubble are still saying stay in equities because you cannot fight the central bankers. Although I just came from Germany, and they're getting quite worried about inflation there.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joan O'Sara with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.